could use some help in my marriage, you're going to hear something. And then you're also going to hear something about what does it look like in my relationship with God through the Holy Spirit. And they're all going to be mixed together, all right? So you got to follow along with me a little bit because you're going to get some meat today, all right? Just not milk. Spiritual meat's going to come at you today. And so I want you to write things down, take notes, and so on as we learn here together of what this looks like in our lives. And so we begin at John chapter 20, and we'll get going on this morning. Now, Jesus appears to Thomas, and now we know the story quite well, but the verse 29, the second half of that verse is going to be the verse I'm going to key on this morning. This is what we're going to talk about when we get into the message. Now, Thomas, also known as Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. Now, remember, Jesus rose from the dead, and he appeared to his disciples, but Thomas wasn't there. And so he didn't see Jesus face to face. And he didn't believe at this point. And so this is where this bit of scripture comes from. So the other disciples told them, "We've seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my fingers where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your fingers here, see my hands, reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." He got it. He believed. It was real. Then Jesus said this to him, "Because you've seen me, you have believed." And here's the key verse I want to talk to you about today. "Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." That's what I want to talk to you about today and give you some understanding in your faith journey. Now go to the book of 1 Samuel. It's going to be around page 445. Now you know that 1 Samuel, it talks a lot about King David. Let me lay some groundwork here so you got some understanding. King David, he's been anointed. Saul's still king, but God has anointed King David. He is preparing to go out and kill Goliath, and he does kill Goliath. And then he becomes good friends with Saul's son. And do you know what David's best friend, what his name was? Jonathan. Yes, correct. So this is a relationship between King David and Jonathan. They are best friends. And so I want you to understand this type of relationship here. And this is biblical support for the second relationship that I'm going to talk to you about this morning of what this says and means. After David had finished talking with Saul, Jonathan became one in spirit with David, and he loved him as himself. Now let me stop there for a moment. If you look at different versions of the Bible, the one in spirit will also, the word that is used as one in soul. So that would be critical for you to know. Soulmate, how many of you heard that before? Okay, we're going to bring that up as well, and we'll tie that together. So one in soul. And then David, he loved him as himself. From that day, Saul kept David from him and did not let him return home to his family. And Jonathan made a covenant with David because he loved him as himself. Jonathan took off the robe he was wearing and gave it to David, along with his tunic, and even his sword, his bow, and his belt. Whatever mission Saul sent on him, David was so successful that Saul gave him a high rank in the army. This pleased all the troops and Saul's officers as well. So you see the respect that Jonathan had for David and what he had gone through. Now turn with me to the book of 1 Corinthians. And then chapter 2, about page 1772. And we're going to read verses 11 and 12. I'm going to add 13 onto that too, so you have some clarification. Let's see here, 2nd, 11, and 12. Better find my right spot. Here we go. "For who knows a person's thoughts except their own spirit within them? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. What we've received is not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may understand what God has freely given us. This is what we speak, not in words taught us by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, explaining spiritual realities with spiritual taught words." And so we'll dig into that as well this morning, the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, as we've read your word this morning and we've dig into your scripture. May you bless us with the presence of your Holy Spirit. Lord, I pray that those that have gathered here and that are listening online this morning, may you open their hearts, souls, and minds to receive your teaching. Lord, I also pray for these words to be your words, never my own. And Lord, may you fill me with that same spirit as I bring your message to your people. In Jesus I pray, amen. All right, I'm going to ask you a question out here this morning, and I don't want you to respond in any way to it, all right? No hands, no grimacing, no nothing, because I don't want to know, because I think this is true for most of us, and here is my question this morning. How many of you have ever gotten bored with church or reading the Bible or your spouse or another family member in your life? And then I want to ask you another question that I want you, don't answer this one either, but I want you to get your thoughts going, your juices flowing about why is that? Why is that in your life? How many of you, don't answer this one either, how many of you have fallen asleep in a church service? Right? Now, I'm going to admit to you, I have. Why would that be? Not just because I'm tired, but I'm going to answer that question with you this morning. If your marriage is maybe falling apart and dry, I'm going to answer that for you. If your relationship with God the Father and your church life is dry and it's dust and you don't get nothing out of it this morning, I'm going to answer that question for you today, right here in these words. You're going to see why. If you come to church and you fall asleep, I'm going to answer that for you. How many of you would like to know those answers today? Now you can respond. All right? You're tracking with me? Those are some very good questions. And so I'm going to go down that road with you this morning. So there are three levels of relationships that I want to talk to you about this morning, and I'll give those to you just a little bit. So remember when I said there's those three areas of marriage and with our spiritual lives and maybe family and friends and reading scripture and so on, that they kind of all tie together. And so let's go back to a doubting Thomas. We understand him. We know what's going on in his life. But Thomas didn't believe that Jesus rose from the dead until Jesus appeared to him some 11 days later after his resurrection in that room, by the way, which the doors were closed and they were locked, and which gives you an idea of what a spiritual body will be like someday as well. But then he says this to him. Then he said to Thomas, put your finger here, see my hands, reach out your hand and put in my side. We get that. He says, stop doubting and believe. And he did. He believed that Jesus rose from the dead. He's seen him with his own eyes. And then Jesus says, verse 29, blessed are those who have not seen and yet believed. Now, what did Jesus exactly mean when he said those words to Thomas, right? He said this, there's going to be a blessed group of people that will live at a way deeper level than what you will live, Thomas, with me through the Holy Spirit. That's a nutshell of what he's saying to you and I, and we're going to dig further into this morning. What Jesus is saying is that the level of intimacy available to those who know me by the Holy Spirit is much greater than knowing me physically. Now, how many of you would love to meet Jesus face to face? Right? I do. I think you do too. But Jesus says this, you're going to know me in a way deeper way through my Holy Spirit. And I've said this to you before, the Holy Spirit's job in our lives is to point everything to the work of Jesus Christ. Not only on the cross, but also in our lives as we live life every day. For you know, we think about the forgiveness of sins, but it's way deeper than that. It's way deeper than that. And so my goal for you this morning is for us to understand what Jesus meant by that verse in a very deep way as you live life here on earth. And so how do we live in that deep relationship that is fully alive and on fire for Jesus Christ? And here are the three that I want you to speak about here just a minute. If you find your church service to be dry, if you find your pastor to be boring, if you can't go home and read Scripture because it means nothing to you, if your marriage is dry, if your other relationships are, there's just nothing there, the Bible has an answer for that. And here are the three levels of relationship that I want to talk to you about this morning. The first one is the physical level. The second one is the soul level. And the third one is the spiritual level in your life. Got that? Are you writing that down? The most superficial level is the physical level. This is where most romantic relationships begin here. All right, let me give you an idea of what that might look like. How many of you in here are married or have been married? Right? Okay. When you look gleamingly into your spouse's eyes for the first time, what did you think? Now, don't answer that because I might get a whole room full of answers. But here's physical. This is how I want to explain that to you. When you fell in love with your spouse, and this isn't true for most cases, but something caught your eye, right? She is good looking. He is handsome. That's where most relationships start. And here's another tidbit. Okay, married people, you get this. If you are unmarried this morning, seniors who are leaving to head to college, you might enter into a dating relationship. You might get married someday. This is where most marriages start. In this area of physical attraction, now let me say this to you, that is the worst place to start. The physical level, which most start at that level. But you're going to learn something different today, which I'm going to tell you just in a little bit. But hang on to that thought. That's where most marriages start, in the physical level of relationship. And so you see, and if you stay there, and I can talk to people that have been married a long time, and this will come together for you by the end of the message. If you stay at the physical level, you are going to have a terrible marriage because you don't have nothing else to back it up. Because after a while, you realize, you know what? She might be good looking or he might be good looking, but that's not enough when you come to your first spat. You'll find the door pretty fast. And it has to be deeper than that. And we'll get to that one in just a moment. So if you're in a dating relationship today, and you don't like the things that are going on in your relationship, and it might just be physical, you need to examine what that looks like in your life. And if you're not in a dating relationship, you need to know when you come into a relationship, what that's going to look like for you. What do you want out of it? Because I'm going to tell you this, do not settle. Because God's got the right one for you out there. Don't settle. And this is not how God designed marriage to be, at this type of relationship. There is a deeper relationship that has to happen in our lives. Let me talk to you about the second one. All right, the second level of relationship is that of a soul of a person. And I read you scripture out of 1 Samuel this morning. This is the level of relationship that existed between David and Jonathan, good friends. Samuel 18, verse 1. As soon as he had finished speaking to Saul, the soul of Jonathan, now remember I talked to you about the ESV, it's one of the scriptures that I use, it says soul in there, is that a spirit? The soul of Jonathan was knit to the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul. A very deep level of relationship here as friends. They became very good friends at the soul level. In fact, I'm going to even go a step further. If you have your Bible open with you, I'm going to give you another verse that I want you to, I'll read it to you, but if you'd like to follow along, it's 2 Samuel 1, verse 26. In fact, when Jonathan was killed, David said this about Jonathan. Now, the world that we live in today will pervert this verse, but I'll bring this around. I want you to understand the depth of relationship they had with each other. Now, you're going to hear this like, well, this is a crazy verse, but just hold on. Says this, I grieve for you, Jonathan, my brother. You were very dear to me. Your love for me was wonderful, more wonderful than that of a woman. Now, in our society today, you'd think, oh, that is a relationship that has gone too far between two men. But that is not that is not at all what that verse says here to us. Okay? Let me bring it out to you this way. Parents, how many of you in here have children? Do you love them? I'm asking you that seriously. How far would you go for that child in your love? All the way, right? That's the kind of soul relationship that I'm talking about here today, that should happen between a husband and a wife, a mother and a father and their children. And children, listen to me here. Now, we might get into trouble here a little bit with our teenagers. What would you do if you didn't have a mom or dad? And some of you have lost parents. That'd be hard, wouldn't it? Because you have such a love for your mom and dad that you can't imagine life without them, right? And I know there's a lot of tough things that go on in the realm of that question that I give you this morning. But what I want you to understand, young people, is the love that you have for your parents or your grandparents or whoever it is that's your caretaker, that's the type of soul love that I'm talking about that we're supposed to have in relationships with each other, especially in a marriage bond, the soul level. You've heard the word talk that, oh, she's my soulmate, right? Dory is my soulmate. That's what I'm talking about here when Jonathan and David are talking, that we have such a good friendship that we love each other, not a sexual attraction, but just a deep love for each other as we live life. That's what God calls marriage to look like. Young people, those who are married, that if you're struggling in your relationship, it could be that you're only at the physical level in your life. You need to get to the soul level, right? If you ask, I don't know who the oldest married couple, I don't think Clarence and Marlene Vantall are here today, but I think there would be the oldest married couple. You guys know what I'm talking about. If you ever want to have a good time, you go visit Clarence and Marlene, and I guarantee you, you'll get a good laugh. They are a hoot at their age. I never laughed so hard in my life a couple weeks ago when I went to visit them. But if I was to ask them a question about how did you stick it together? How did you endure so long and have such a good marriage? And, you know, and not every marriage is perfect. But if I was to really get to the heart of that question, I was to ask them and they'd start talking to me, they'd probably say, because we were soulmates. We had that deep love for each other at a very deep level. And that's what you need to survive in a marriage today. And of course, God's in the midst of that, in the center of that relationship. Think about that. The soul level. So I'm calling you, those who are married, maintain that soul level. Those of you that are dating, those of you that will get married someday, you need to look to the soul level in your relationship with whoever that is in your life. Let me give you another example on the flip side of this. Have you ever had it, and you know, you guys have heard stories, is why does one spouse leave a relationship? Why can one spouse leave children and a spouse behind? And then you hear the story like, well, they met somebody online and they just left. You ever think, how could somebody do that, right? And here's your answer to that. Because that marriage relationship was more than likely built on the physical level. And then they established a relationship with somebody else, and they had an emotional affair with somebody online, and they connected at the soul level. And the soul level is always way stronger than the physical level. And that person won't bat an eye in leaving the marriage relationship, even though it's wrong. But that's why those things happen. Because of their relationships. So let me ask you out there, people who are married and those who are going to get married, where are you at in your relationship? And I pray that it's at the soul level with you and your spouse. Are you and your boyfriend or girlfriend are the one that you meet someday in your life? Let's move on to the third one. This is the deepest level of relationship is the spiritual level. This is the level that Jesus was referring to when he spoke these words to Thomas. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. This is the level that Jesus wants you and I to live at with him in relationship. It can only be had by the Holy Spirit living in you and I. Because the Spirit reveals Jesus. The Spirit teaches us the Word of God. The Spirit causes us to pray for things that we maybe have going on in our life or things that are going to happen or whatever it might be. The Spirit guides and directs. And this is what Jesus is getting at. Now remember, I started out my message with questions for you this morning. Do you find church to be boring? Do you find the Bible to be dry? Do you find your spouse to be boring and dry and so on? And here's what I want to say to you. The Spirit of God brings the Word of God to life. Amen? That's what it's about. And I want to be real honest with you. Before the Spirit of God totally invaded my life, I'd fall asleep in church on a Sunday morning. And then one day I decided, you know, I got to get real with this. And God touched my life back in November of 2005 before I went into ministry. And things changed because I was filled with that Holy Spirit. And that word in the Bible began to jump off me at the page. And I began to understand, what does that mean for me in my life? What does that look like? And it made sense. It made enough sense that God called me to ministry. And I get to preach to you and I every Sunday, and to me. And I hope that when I preach to you, that it makes sense to you as it does to me. That's the Spirit of God. That's what brings things to life. He is the teacher of all things. So how is worship going this morning? How's the sermon going this morning? Don't answer that one either. Right? But is it come to life? Is God speaking to you this morning? You know, Ezekiel talks about the dead bones coming to life. It's exactly what the Spirit of God is teaching us this morning. If you're spiritually dead, this is where you find life. This is where it happens. If I have another Bible verse, and it's on the screen this morning, 1 Corinthians 2, verse 11. For who knows a person's thoughts except the spirit of that person which is in him? So also no one comprehends the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. So what Paul is essentially saying to you and I, if you want to know the deep matters of God, if you want to live in a deep relationship with Jesus Christ, you have to know the Spirit of God in a very deep way. And we'll answer how we do that in just a moment. But let me just say this to you. Let me ask you this question. By know, I mean by having an understanding that is much more than the superficial knowledge that can be obtained with little or no effort. All right? Now let me give you an example of what that might look like if you're living, you can't live at a physical level with Jesus, by the way, because none of us have seen him face to face. You can only live at the spiritual level. But let me give you an example of what I mean by if you don't have that deep relationship with the Spirit of God, if you don't know in a deep way, Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, and God the Father, let me point that out to you here this morning. I'm going to ask you a question, and most of you will say, yep, I know exactly who that is. And here's my question for you this morning. Who is the President of the United States? Joe Biden. Do you know what his favorite ice cream is? Do you know what his favorite color is? Do you know his deep desires and what his heart is? And most of you would say, nope, because you know him at a superficial level. So when I ask you, do you know who God is? And you say, yeah, he sent his son to die for my sins. But do you know the deep matters of his heart? Do you know his desire for you in your life? And you say, no, that's a superficial relationship. Just like everybody knows the President of the United States, everybody can say, yep, I know who God the Father is. When you live at the spiritual level of relationship with being filled with the Holy Spirit in your life, you will know God, and I talk the Trinity here, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, at that deep level. You know the desires that he has for your heart, and you will live them. Maybe not always easy. You'll know, you'll connect, you'll understand what that looks like in your life. So where are you living at this morning? Is it superficial? Like almost like the physical level that you know, but that's about it? In your walk with Jesus Christ? Because when you encounter things in this world that are hard and difficult, you're going to want to live at the spiritual level in your life. That's where God calls us, to live at that level. He's the one that fully reveals Jesus Christ. So back to my question. How can you know God at this level? Right? If you want to move beyond superficial knowledge of God, and I want to say this to you this morning. I think there are a lot of people that live at this level, even in the church. That might be stepping on a few toes this morning, but that's okay, because I need to draw you deeper in to your relationship with Christ as a preacher. You need to know those things about God in your life. That's where you find the peace and the comfort and the salvation that I preach to you, the good news. But how, so, and this is not, what words do I want to use here? You need to work at it. It takes effort. It's not going to be easy. You're not going to want to do it some days. And that is, study the Word of God and pray. That's what it involves. And being led by the Spirit in your life. That's what I'm talking about. You got to seek it. I don't care how busy your schedule is. God's given you all the time in the world. You get to make that decision. But let me follow up with this. I think the verse is on the bottom of the screen. 2 Corinthians 3, verse 16 and 17. But when one turns to the Lord, the veil is removed. All right? That talks about when you live at the spiritual level with God, the veil gets removed. Okay? When the veil is removed, can you see through a veil very good? No, yeah? Kind of faint? Yeah. But when you take the veil away, what do you see? Right? You see the truth, right? You see how to, and so when the Word of God is revealed to you and the veil is taken away, when the Holy Spirit fills your life, when you flip open the Bible, it makes sense. It begins to speak to you. The veil's been pulled away. That's the level that you need to live at in your life. How many of you here, don't answer this question. How many of you were excited to come to church today? Couldn't wait to get here. Not because of me, because of what God's going to do. Right? That's what it's about in your life. And I want all of you to have that desire. To read scripture, to gather for worship, to sing songs of praise, to glorify God in your life. And remember the work of Jesus Christ. So next week, when you come to church, I want it to be different for you. I want it to be exciting. I want it to be vibrant. I want you to be filled with the Holy Spirit, to sing, to read. I don't want you to be tired. I want you to come in a new way. Because that's how we meet God. And that happens for me every Sunday. And I don't know about you, but I get a little excited to preach once in a while because of that fire. And I'm excited to stand up here this morning and share the good news of Jesus Christ. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father,